Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and Pat Tank is helping me lead worship this morning, and we are glad to greet you on this second Sunday of Advent, Advent being the season of preparation for Christmas. As we get started, in a little bit, I'll be asking the ushers to pass around the attendance pad so you can register your attendance with us. It's wonderful when you tell us that you're here and any additional information if you're a guest so that we can follow up with you. And it's great to know who is here so we can best serve this congregation. If you look in the bulletin, you'll see a couple different announcements that we're going to lift up. I'm seeing a reloading slide, but you can look in your bulletin too to see some of the pertinent information. The first thing that I want to lift up is that the Starry Night event is today. If you came in this entrance especially, you are very aware that it is today because you could not get through that door. If you're going to Sunday school downstairs this morning, you'll see that you'll have to do a little extra maneuvering. So the building was set up yesterday, I would say about 95%, and we'll put in those last blockades after worship today. So I'm so excited. A big thank you to all who have been part of this process so far and who will be coming tonight, and especially to those who were inviting others. We're excited to open up our building for this event for our community to experience the Christmas story. The second thing that I want to lift up is that next Sunday is our annual cookie walk. And so if you would like to provide some cookies for that, you probably already got a phone call, but you can bring those in before first service next week. And then after first service next week, you can get in the very long line to pay your money for a plate of wonderful cookies made by various members of Asbury, and you can just pile up whatever looks delicious. So it's a fun tradition, and because it's a little later than usual this year, they'll be even fresher for Christmas, so I'm excited about that. The third thing that I want to lift up, what's my third slide, is that next week is also the Sunday School Christmas program. So from 9:45 to 10:45 downstairs in the treehouse, you're invited for a Christmas program put on by our two-year-olds through our fifth graders. Final thing that I wanted to lift up is Christmas Eve worship on the 24th. It's going to look startlingly similar to last year's worship because Christmas Eve, we tell the same story every year and we enjoy it. And as long as we light our candles with Silent Night, we leave feeling great, don't we? So we're going to be having our second annual nativity party with live animals from 4 to 4:45. At 5 o'clock, we'll be having a family service. 7:30 is a cantata with the choir performing. And then 10 o'clock is a more contemplative communion and carols and candlelight service. So those are all the pieces that I wanted to lift up. It's a busy time of year. I hope you're getting involved. I hope you're continuing to be part of the community here at Asbury. For the second week, we're going to be lighting our Advent candles on the wreath. So in a moment, our choir will sing, and then after that, the Asbury Card Ministry will light the candles, and then I'll ask you to stand for our opening hymn.
God has been there, we can come and live with you. This week of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. Hope is the destination of our faith. It is not enough to be faithful, trusting in what your eyes do not see. I might believe I can fly, but leaping from a tall building without a parachute is still a bad idea. I might believe that my candidate will win the election, but if my candidate's faithful voters do not turn up at the polls, a victory will not be possible. A hopeless faith is like getting in the car for a week trip, not knowing where you are going. You trust that the trip will go well and that you will return safely, but without a destination, you will wander aimlessly. Hope is what keeps us from following a blind faith. Hope is the destination."
Before lighting the candles of love and joy, we must begin with hope. The Old Testament offers prophetic words of a time when God will rescue God's people. In Isaiah, we find, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders." These and many other Old Testament teachings guide our faith during the Advent season, for a time in which God will reconcile all things. Our hope is reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and salvation, and that hope grounds our faith.
Let us pray. Gracious God, ground our faith in the hope of salvation. Let us not walk aimlessly in the darkness, but let us see the light that Christ will bring into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join me in the unison prayer. Love the Savior, you are on your way, but we can often be too stuck in the pain and sorrow of the past to notice how you are breaking into the world. Help us, love, to deal with our past so we might focus on the glorious future yet to come. Make this be for us a Christmas where we are not clouded by what we have done, but inspired by what you are doing in the world today. Amen. Let us welcome our neighbors by passing the peace of Christ. Let us share now in our joys and concerns, and you can raise your hand or stand, and one of the ushers will bring a mic over to you.
Darvin Schroeder, this past Thursday, I had the pleasure of having a little Christmas lunch with my stepdaughter and her husband, Carolee and Brian Samuels, at the Uptown in LaSalle, the best restaurant between the Quad Cities and Chicago. On Friday, it was my obligation to buy breakfast for Richard Hansen of Riverdale, who will be 90 this coming Friday, the 13th. And just before lunch on Saturday, this goes on and on, a phone call from Violet Noble in Des Moines. Violet is a sister-in-law to my late wife, Catherine, was married to her brother, Richard, and so she extended Christmas wishes. The only noteworthy thing about that fact is that she was 102 on July 31st.
Wow.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Joanna Brenner, and I have a concern. My cousin's husband, I think they're in their late 60s, early 70s, had a stroke on Thursday. He was with a group of people that recognized it right away and got him to the hospital, but the medication hasn't worked and he's not a candidate for surgery. He has been waking up some and being able to use some of his hands and things, but it's gonna be a long process. And so his name is Bob Frankenberry.
Go ahead.
Good morning, my name is Val Maher. I have a concern and a joy. My concern is my cousin Ken Behrens passed and went with Jesus, and I would like prayers for his family. I have a joy. I've been bringing my granddaughter Ruby Hansen to Sunday school, and she looked at me the other day and she said, "I like Sunday school," and the joy just filled my heart. So I just want to thank third and fourth grade teaching staff for making my granddaughter feel loved.
Debbie Stelk, I'm asking for prayers for my brother and sister-in-law, Chip and Nancy. Nancy's sister passed away about 4 days ago. And Nancy is now the lone survivor of her immediate family. And her funeral service will be a week from today. Thank you.
Over here.
Hi, I'm just asking prayers for Tom again. Just an update that he had his MRI this week, and we'll be reading it next week, or this week coming up. Just needing, he's going to look for a second opinion, but he'll be looking into some major back surgery coming up soon, before Christmas, we're hoping. So.
Don Mitchum, I lift up my nephew, Phil Freestad, in Cedar Rapids. His wife, Katrina, age 45, just passed away this week from cancer.
Good morning. I'm John Cameron, and I just want to express the great joy it is to have all the activities that are going on at Asbury with the Salvation Army ringing and the Starry Night and, you know, future events that we're going to have. And I just, a reminder, we haven't been publicizing it as much as we have in the past, but this coming Saturday, we are hosting a meal at the center. And we've done this for several years, so for us that are organizing it, it all seems kind of routine, but I think one of the routine things that we haven't done is remind the congregation that this is an outreach that we're doing. And it's great fun. I'm just reminding you all that it's next Saturday. The meal starts at 12. The hosting activities start probably about 10:30. The Junior Praise Band will be performing at that event. And I hope that, and I pray that it's we have great weather and lots of great fellowship and hosting. So thank you.
Okay. Gracious God, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, burdens that steal the joy right out of our stockings. Tragedy arrives as innocent victims suffer, and an inner voice whispers, "Be afraid." We need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts are too often filled with wonder of a different kind, wondering when the bills will be paid, when the terror will stop, and when rest will come. Never have we needed your joy and peace more than now. We lift up our prayers, both the spoken and the unspoken, and we know you hear them, and we know you walk with us in our strength and our weaknesses. Today, we reach out to our community as we share the good news of Jesus in our Starry Night event. May those who have worked so hard to prepare for this event, those who will be participating, and those who will be attending, finding the peace only you can give. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is from Psalms 130, 1 through 8. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revealed. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. The word of God for the people of God. Now, have the children come forward to hear what Pastor Heather has to say. Today we're going to talk about Christmas past, and I'm wondering if you guys have any Christmas traditions in your family.
We do.
What do you do? What's something special that your family does? You do a Christmas tree? That's a good tradition.
And one of them says that we eat reindeer poop.
There's reindeer poop?
Yes.
Oh, no. They don't know how to go outside? You have an advent calendar? You guys have an advent calendars?
We have a reindeer one.
You have a reindeer one?
Yeah.
There's so many fun different things we can do at Christmas, aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I'm going to talk about today in a little bit is how we have so many memories of our Christmas past. But sometimes our memories don't always work the way we want it to work. And sometimes if you and I were to have the same experience, like go see the same movie, we might come out and remember different things. Have you ever experienced that? Somebody remembers things differently than you do?
Yes.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Have you ever heard of a time capsule?
No.
Do you know what a time capsule is?
No.
A time capsule is a thing where you put in different memories and you put in different objects, and then you bury it deep in the ground and you dig it up many years later. And you find all these secrets. It's like a secret treasure that you hide and you discover it again years later. And so, because we're talking about the past, I want to give you sort of a time capsule today. What do you see on this?
Santa.
Santa. Now, does this picture look like it came from, like, last year or a long time ago?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. And so it looks like an old Christmas card from the Victorian era.
It is.
Isn't it pretty? Now, that was a long time ago, like 150 years ago. If you open it up, does anybody know what that says?
Christmas memories 2019.
So I'm giving you your own time capsule. So everybody can, let's pray first. But everybody can take a card, and then I'm going to invite you at the end of Christmas, when your family puts up all your decorations and you've done all your traditions, sit down with your mom or your dad and ask them to help you write down some memories from this Christmas. Maybe the best toy that you got or the most delicious cookie that you ate. I want you to make your own time capsule and then put it with all of your Christmas decorating bins at home. And when you open up to decorate for Christmas next year, you'll find your time capsule and you can remember all the fun, thank you, all the fun that you had this Christmas. Do you think you could do that? You could write a Christmas card to yourself to read next year?
I cannot read.
Well, you'll get help from your mom and dad. I bet they'll help you out.
I got stitches.
You got stitches? That would be a thing to remember next year. All right, can we pray? All right. Well, maybe you don't want to remember it next year. All right, guys, put down your time capsule cards. Fold your hands, and let's pray together, all right? Dear God, thank you so much for Christmas past and all our fun traditions. Help keep those memories close and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You knew where I was going.
White flowers reminding us of the lilies of death, its berries as red as blood, its prickly leaves like the crown of thorns, the bark of its vine as bitter as the gall that prepares a body of death. All that symbolism gives us joy at Christmas time in the rising of the sun and the running of the deer.
Oh,
Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Christmas is a time of nostalgia. I would be very surprised to hear that anyone here has ever made it through the month of December without spending time remembering Christmases of the past. The memorable Christmas that made the year truly stand out. Those memories that you can't forget. The time when someone got an injury from cooking or baking or hanging lights. The year when someone did something inappropriate. That time when you started a new tradition or someone new joined your Christmas celebrations. That year when you got exactly the gift that you had been hoping for. Christmas just invites nostalgia and remembrance. It's almost as though we live in a time when the veil between the past and the present is paper thin. We peel the tissue paper back from the ornaments that we made as children, or our children made for us when they were young. We place those ornaments up on the tree, and the house smells like the special food and dessert that we had last year, and the year before that. And the year before that. It seems as though Christmas is connected to every other Christmas that we have ever experienced, on and on and on. Our traditions stretching back to our childhood with twists and changes along the way, but creating memories that live on. You might think right now of a particularly strong memory of Christmas past. It's amazing, isn't it, how strong the memories of our Christmas past can be. How they can rise close to the surface even if they are far away. The past is a funny thing. At once it is close and at once it is far. And our memories of the past are never perfect, never able to capture every single detail. It plays tricks on us. The past informs our present so greatly, and yet we can't always get the story straight or all agree on the details and what the past was like, what happened, or even what lessons we have learned. In Charles Dickens' classic story, A Christmas Carol, money worshiper Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by three ghosts of past, present, and future. And they teach him lessons from his own life so he can change his course and he can walk a new path of redemption. This week we're focusing on the ghost of Christmas past. I'd encourage you to pick up a book if you haven't already and to read what Reverend Matt Rawl has to say about Scrooge and the gift of Christmas past. You can join a small group that meets here on Sunday or throughout the week, and you can find that info right next to the books in either entrance. And those small groups are watching a DVD that says even more upon what the book talks about. Reverend Matt Rawl has some really interesting things to say about Scrooge's journey through his past and how it starts his transformation into a healthier man. Today I wanted to look at the gospel lesson from John, and it's an interesting story in and of itself about how we regard the past and how we can rise above the past. Will you pray with me? Holy God, as much as the past is behind us, it never quite leaves us. And it informs our current reality and our future plans. Help us as we deal with past issues and difficulties. And help us to see with your eyes that don't see the past and what a person has been, but see the future and the potential of what a person can be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today comes in the first chapter of John's gospel. So it's at the very start of John's account of Jesus' life and his ministry and his death and resurrection. Matt Rawl actually addresses this in his book, but the four Gospels tell four very different stories of the birth of Jesus. Our Christmas pageants and our programs tend to blend time together, another case, like Matt Rawl says, of our memories not being so reliable or uniform. Well, John's gospel is no exception. He begins with the cosmic Christ, Jesus, the Word of God, who was with God the Father at the very beginning, part of the creation of the world. And then John talks about the ministry of John the Baptist, who is making way for Jesus' ministry. And Jesus' very first disciples in this gospel were first followers of John. And John tells them to follow Jesus. So we'll pick up the story here where Jesus asks Philip to follow him, and Philip turns around and tells Nathanael to follow Jesus. Philip is really psyched. He tells Nathanael, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." All of Israel has been waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah, the one who will bring redemption to their people. In this season of Advent, as we wait for the birth of the Messiah, we remember those who waited for centuries for that salvation and redemption. Philip rejoices that the waiting is over. The hope, the Messiah that they had waited for, that their mothers and fathers had waited for, their grandmothers and grandfathers had waited for, he was there. And what does Nathanael say? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" At first glance, it seems like maybe Nathanael has met a person or two from Nazareth. Maybe a person who was lazy or a drunk or a thief. "Can anything good come out of that po-dunk town of Nazareth? Can anything good come from the Appalachians or Arkansas or Alabama?" It seems like Nathanael has judged Jesus before he's ever even met him based on his past. If Jesus is like anyone else from Nazareth, he isn't worth knowing. And wow, how many times have I done that same thing? How many times have I used someone's past as a shorthand for whether or not they are worth my time? How many times have I let someone's wealth, the activities they enjoy, their mental health, the area that they're from, determine whether or not I want to get to know them. How many times have I dismissed someone because of their past, figuring that that's all I need to know about them? How many times have you done that? How many times have you figured someone grew up on the wrong side of the track, or maybe made too many mistakes, got wrapped up in something or someone, and they aren't worth the energy of getting to know them? Our past makes a difference. It shapes us into who we are today, but we are more than our past. We are more than who we have been or where we came from. At first glance, it seems like Nathanael is dismissing Jesus based on where he came from, a poor town where nothing exciting happens. But there's another layer under the text, a layer of prophecy and expectation, a layer of the writings of old that foretell the hope to come. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything as magnificent as a savior come from a town of so little value that the Hebrew Bible never mentions Nazareth once? The Jewish people knew what they were looking for. They knew the signs of the salvation to come, and it wasn't coming from Nazareth. It wasn't going to come from a place that was never talked about once in their prophecies. Nathanael has expectations for the present and where his hope can be found based on a collective nostalgia and remembrance of the hope from the past. The coming of Jesus doesn't match that picture. This can't be who Moses and the prophets promised. They didn't say anything about Nazareth. Nathanael is stuck in nostalgia and traditions that were laid down well before his birth. He is unwilling or unable to understand that something new can be flowering up, something unexpected, something that matches the Savior that this world needs, even if it is not the Savior that the world expects. I'm reminded of Christmas traditions that we continue on and on and on because they were started so long ago for a different time and a different place. My family likes to open gifts on Christmas Eve because my grandmother would work on Christmas Day. My husband's family likes to wake up very early to open their gifts on Christmas Day because his grandmother worked on Christmas Day. Can any good gifts come from Christmas Eve? Can any good gifts come from Christmas Day? No, our traditions have to continue, right? Traditions are a funny thing because they're rooted in the past, but it doesn't always fit our current situations. And we can have a hard time letting go of the traditions, maybe especially of Christmas, because they connect us to a past that we understood. They connect us to a time that seemed simpler, a time that we see through the rosy eyes of the present. Nathanael cannot imagine that his tradition, which tells him exactly what to expect in the Savior, would lead him to Nazareth. His eyes are on the past. Which is why I love that Jesus' response has his eyes on the past as well. Jesus sees Nathanael, their first meeting in John's gospel, and says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked, "Where did you get to know me? How do you know my past? What did you see there? What's the shorthand that you're using to assess whether I am worthy of your time, dedication, or adoration? Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Do you see the difference in how these two men used the past to inform the present? Nathaniel says, I know where he comes from. He isn't worth my time or my energy. And Jesus says, I saw your past. I knew you before you realized I was with you, and I see the goodness in you. One responds to the past with hopelessness, and one responds with hope. It's easy to let our past define us. It's easy to dwell in who we have been, who others have been, and to write people off based on their past. It's easy to decide that their past doesn't fit our expectations for what a good citizen, a good friend, a good leader, a good Christian should be. And then we see the past with the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus draws Nathanael's attention to where Jesus was with him in the story all along. Jesus was part of his past. Jesus had his eye on Nathanael before Nathanael was aware. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked back at the past with 20/20 hindsight and seen where Jesus was leading you through the whole time? Have you seen God's grace guiding your past, caring for you, watching over you, sitting with you in the tough times? Ebenezer Scrooge's journey through the past took him to his lonely childhood. Have you had times of dark loneliness? Jesus was there, and he saw you under the Christmas tree. Ebenezer Scrooge's journey through the past took him to a bright and fun Christmas celebration with dancing. Have you had times of intense joy? Jesus was there, and he saw you under the Christmas tree. We might long for the past, but it will never return. We might have regrets from our past, but we can never change them. The past is past. Now it's only something that we can reflect on and we can use to guide our present and our future. We can look back with nostalgia to mourn over what can be no more. We can look back with pain, dwelling on what we cannot fix. Or we can look back with hope and see Jesus' light in the darkness and the comfort of the light that continues to shine in our lives. You cannot change the past, but you can learn from it, and you can grow. And you can find hope in knowing that Jesus saw you under the Christmas tree, and he knows all of your memories of Christmas past, the good and the bad, and Jesus proclaims, here is truly a person in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked his friend Philip, can anything good come from Nazareth? You may have friends and loved ones who are asking the same thing about the church. Can anything good come from Christians? I know how terrible they've been and what a mess they've made of things and what their reputation is in the media. Notice that Philip doesn't respond by defending Jesus. Instead, he says, come and see. Let our response be the same. You know people who have experienced past pain from Christians and churches, or maybe they have no experience with a church and they don't even think it's worth it. I invite you to answer their questions, come and see. Invite them to Asbury to encounter Christ for themselves. You can invite them this afternoon at the Starry Night. You can invite them for the next two Sundays where we continue Ebenezer Scrooge's story. You can invite them to our Christmas Eve services or for the Sunday after Christmas when we'll tell that glorious story again. Come and see. Come out of the difficulties of the past and see how God is working in the here and the now. Come and see that out of the past there is hope to be found in Jesus, who saw us all under the Christmas tree before we had met him. And there under the trees of Christmas past, Jesus saw us. He knew us. He loved us. And he invited us to follow him. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, you're invited to give back for what you've been so graciously given. Gifts not only of Christmas, but all year round from our Heavenly Father. Our ushers will pass around the collection plates, and we'll be taking up our tithes and offerings as a sign of our love for God.
Long ago, you sent your Son to be with us and show us a better way. Through the Christmas of the past, you have offered us redemption and a new way of being. Help us to learn from the past so we might dedicate our present and our future to you. May these gifts be comfort to those seeking redemption from their past and looking forward to the hope of a new future with you. Amen. Where they say, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. The world is weary, my friends. We are tired. The past bogs us down, and the present is pretty difficult to deal with, too, at times. The weary world rejoices with the coming of the Savior. So I invite you to spread that hope to others and invite them to come and see. May you have a blessed week as you go out into the world to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you.